Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. So join me in Matthew 28:1. I'm in the Passion Translation because I love that translation. After the Sabbath ended, Sabbath for the Jews is on Saturday. After the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord, Jehovah, descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him. His robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, laying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. Just get that. They're sitting there, extra guards to make sure nobody stole Jesus out of that tomb and made it look like he rose from the dead. And I really believe that was really God saying, there will be proof that he didn't raise, that he didn't get stolen. So God let it, they guarded that thing as well as you could. Nobody's coming in here. And those guards, we would lose their lives if they let somebody steal him. They probably lost their lives. Maybe, but how many know if you saw what they saw, they probably got saved right before they lost their lives. How good is God? So there's almost like an earthquake at their feet. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him. His robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, laying motionless like dead men. And the angel, real cool, walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. The women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, because they must be watching this, like, what is happening here? My gosh, you guys, get eyes to see in the spirit. But I think we're living in a day when we're going to have more supernatural things that we will see with our own eyes and experience. We're kind of watching that through the political stuff that's going on. I just want everybody to know what's going on to save our nation now is in biblical proportions of God's intervention. So just watch what he does. And stay, don't be afraid. And so I'll just have to say this. When we were worshiping this morning, the Lord showed me, I feel I want to say it. There's a gigantic angel over there and a gigantic angel over here. Oh, and they are now assigned to this church to keep anyone from getting hurt in this church. So you never have to worry about a crazy person coming in. We've had that happen before, and God's always taken care of it. But he's got big angels here assigned. Why would he do that? Because we're going to start hearing about the enemy trying to stop people from going to church. So just know, if you got people afraid to go to church, say, we'll just come to our church because we know that we know God has it taken care of. Oh, and then he also showed me, and you guys were singing this, angels all across here that have been assigned for worship. And just, they were dancing, and it was so funny. I was asking the Lord, do they dance like this and stuff? And then God was talking to me, and then you guys started singing some of the songs. What you were saying was exactly what I just asked him. It was amazing. So anyway, so just know God's got a lot of cool things going on in the spirit all the time, everywhere, but he's going to start opening eyes to some of it. Now these women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, there's no reason to be afraid. And I think that's what that is. God said, there's no reason to be afraid to come to church in this day. There's no reason to be afraid for your children. Just really get into the spirit. Plead the blood. That was awesome for the Lord to show us. He died. The Passover was a representation that Jesus was going to destroy the spirit of death. He was going to destroy the enemy being able to do these things. Okay? And so the Lord had us plead that. It's really time to get into those understanding, and you could ask Caleb and Talia about that. They lived a good year of that, which I'm writing right now, so it's like reliving it. He isn't here. So the women are looking for Jesus. They just saw him roll back the tomb. They're sitting there amazed. There's already almost dead men, soldiers laying all around, and they say, he isn't here. He has risen victoriously, just as he said, come on inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying. And if you ever go to Israel and you get to go see where his tomb is, honest to goodness, the Catholics believe it's one place and the Protestants believe it's another place. The Protestants are right. When you go there and you walk in that tomb, you feel such an angelic presence, even now, that you don't want to leave. And you just really wish everybody would go away and you could sit there and worship. You just really, you wait in line for a very long time to get in there for your 2 seconds, but you're like, let me hide over here. But there's such an awesome power. And going with Brian Simmons, who translated this, was amazing. You know, and it was just an amazing, I've gone twice, but when I went with their group, it was amazing. Both times was amazing. That's how I went with Benny Hinn's group, okay. There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen victoriously, just as he said. Come inside the tomb. See the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. I give you his message. I'm going ahead of you. The Lord's saying, I'm going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will meet me there. They rush quickly to tell the disciples. Okay, just so everybody knows, this was one of the scriptures, the confirmation of this in scripture. When I asked the Lord, Lord, I'm not supposed to be teaching men. I'm not supposed to be teaching men according to, you know, I think it's in Timothy. And I don't care if I don't teach men, but you have men coming and you have men. This is before we were a church. And I said, where is that in scripture? If your word says I can't teach men, then I can't teach men. And he goes, well, come here, let me show you something. He said, Mary was a woman. I told him, the first thing I did when I came out of the tomb, my first message was to tell her to go tell her brothers. So I'm only going to tell you what he tells me to tell you. Okay? If he doesn't tell me to tell you, I'm not telling you. If I don't understand it in scripture, I'm not preaching it. I'm only going to tell you what he tells me to tell you. It's a good thing I move in Revelation. So I have plenty to say. If it's good enough for Jesus' first message, and it busted through, and he even rebuked the brothers, if you look at another scripture about it, who didn't believe her, then it's totally good enough for me. Because I didn't try to do this. He told me to do this. Go and tell them this message. I'm going ahead of you in Galilee. You'll see me there. They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We can't even imagine. And I'm not going to get into it all, but if you get into their heads for 5 seconds, they couldn't believe what they just went through. They couldn't believe the week they just walked through. They were on Psalm Sunday, a week before, they were like on cloud nine. They all know he's the King of Kings. We are buddies with the King of Kings. Everybody's worshiping. They're throwing down their clothes to, you know, so he can just, his donkey can walk over, and everybody's calling him King of Kings. He's the Messiah. I mean, these guys were like, yeah, we're with him. We're with him. Yeah. They're, you know, they were arguing not too long ago who's going to be the most powerful when he sets up his kingdom. And now, within a few days, they've watched him arrested. They've watched him beaten to where you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. They watched him nailed to, you know, the whole time they're going, come on, come on. Okay, this is going too far now. You know, pretty soon, how are you? And they had to watch that. They had to be a part of that. They had to show, some of them were so afraid that they too would go through it. And all these things happened. You guys, that just happened. What a week those guys had. What an unbelievable week of disappointment, of discouragement, of wondering if he really was even who he said he was, of wondering, were we deceived? What's going on? What a week they had. And then all of a sudden, they're not going there to prove he rose from the dead. These ladies are going there with things to put on his body, which is rituals for burial. They're going there with traditional ways in that custom of that people group that they put, how they took care of their dead before they put them in a tomb. But they didn't have a chance. They had to stick them in a tomb. They're only going back to the tomb to try to do what their traditions were. And they get there all crying and sad and hoping the guards would even let them in. And all of a sudden, God's like, I'll let you in. Okay, then. Like, okay, I guess we don't have to ask the guards. Excuse, are they dead? I don't know. And he's just like, come on in. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about them. He's not here. He told you he wasn't going to be here. you guys, these are real people, okay? They don't even have the Holy Spirit in them yet, just so you know. And they got to understand what on earth is going on. He did mention something about raising from the dead, but that, we thought he was going to take over now. We didn't really kind of get all that. And here, now here's this angel. And he says, now go back, and here's Jesus' message. And they rushed out. Their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with joy. They knew they saw Jesus. They knew the angel told them what to do. They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with joy. Along the way, Jesus suddenly appeared in front of them. Oh, my gosh. Ah! Oh, I can't wait. Can you not wait until you die? And he's there in front of you? Or the rapture, whatever. I've never, ever felt bad for one second that Lauren got, I didn't like that she got whammed with a tree branch, but she instantly died, and instantly the angels took her, and she was sitting there in the arms of Jesus. For real, not kidding, looking at the one she loved, even at the age of 7, looking at the one she had to give her life to, looking at the one, you want to know something? That cross never meant as much to me as the day my daughter saw Jesus face to face. Because on that day, I really knew that I knew I would see her again, and Satan could never steal her permanently away from me. He could give me a little of a delay, but he could not take away. And all I want now is my entire family to be in heaven one day. You need that prayer that God had Karen sing and prophesy. You need to flow in that thing. You need to say, God, call him in. You need to get on your face. Do whatever he shows you. Do the warfare that's needed. You do not want to just assume people who aren't living for God are going to be in heaven, because there's not a single scripture to tell you that. There's plenty to tell you otherwise. Plenty. But then you do everything in faith. Can't ever, ever pray in fear. You pray in faith. Lord, if your kid's not right with God, you pray and you do intercession. They cannot die until they get right with God. And then hope they get right with God before you die and have to let go of the prayer. That's how you pray. You don't just assume they're going to be there. You pray, God, you get in his presence, you know him, you get before his face, and you say, God, please do not let the spirit of death touch my kids. They're not right. Do not let them die until they're right with you. And you take it as one of the most serious prayers you've ever prayed in your life. We've got to quit this watered down version that everybody's in heaven. Actually, it says, narrow is the way and few find it. That's what the Bible says. And I promise you, what looks like the world is not finding it. But also what looks religious is not finding it. So here's Jesus. So they're going back. Can you just imagine? They're going back. Oh my, the angel did say he rose, right? He really did rise. Those swords, they were all down. This really, you saw it too, right? This really happened, right? And then all of a sudden, here's Jesus. Ah! Oh my gosh. This was the best first Easter. This was the best Easter ever. Resurrection Sunday. Easter is, I know. Okay, I already know. Constantine changed it. It's the name of a heathen god that was about fertility, okay? And even today, the Biden administration is congratulating all trans to come out of the closet and make it official show who you are day or whatever. But that was actually put in a while back. You know what? I hope they all go to church. I hope they all go to church. And I don't even care how they dress to come to church. I just hope there's somebody there who knows God and has the love of God to invite them in and to love them in Christ and to watch him set them free. Yeah. We're so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down, grasped his feet, and adoring worship. Then Jesus said to them, throw off all your fear. All right, this is a word for everybody here, because we have the same Lord who said this. We have the same Lord who declared this. Throw off all your fear. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Throw up all your fear. Go and tell my brothers. He told a woman to go with the message. Okay, to go to Galilee. They will find me there. After the women left the tomb, a few of the guards went into Jerusalem and told the chief priests everything they had seen and heard. So the chief priest called a meeting with all the religious leaders and came up with a plan. This sounds like corrupt government. They bribed the guards with a large sum of money. Whoops. They told them, tell everyone while we were asleep, his disciples came at night and stole his body. If Pilate finds out about this, don't worry. We'll make sure you don't get blamed. They took the money and did as they were told. That is why the story of the guards is still circulated among the Jews to this day. Okay, remember 28:16. We're going to come back to here. I want you to see something in the way Luke describes it. Hold on a second. Now, go with me over to Luke, and we're going to the Damascus Road, because this is in some of the witnesses. Remember, if you ask anybody in this room to tell you the same story about something, everybody has their version of it, and they see it from their perspective. And you can tell that when I do testimonies, from how I saw things and then how somebody else saw things, it's just different sometimes. But the main things are still the main things. Okay, so go with me down here to, let me find out where, Luke 24. So here we are, get right back in the scene. At the same time that these ladies are going to tell the brothers, later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Damascus, a journey of about 17 miles. That's a pretty long walk. Karen could do it. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. Is Jesus too cool? Now, this is happening later on the same day. He talks to the ladies. I think at one thing he still had to go to the Father and come back before he could do this, but I just want to get us out of here in time. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. And they didn't even have YouTube or social media. And yet they knew everything. And they were all talking. They were unaware that it was Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. I could tell you my story about seeing Jesus in a church and not recognizing him, but I won't because we don't have time. Jesus said to them, you seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you talking about? You seem so sad and gloomy. They stopped, and one of them answered, haven't you heard? Are you the only one in all Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days? And Jesus, don't you love Jesus? He knows what they're talking about. He loves to get us to start a conversation. He loves to get us to come into conversation with him. So when you're having your prayers, get the understanding, without question, Jesus wants a conversation with you, not just what you need. He says, what things? You know, the things about Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they replied. He was a mighty prophet of God. He performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful. He had great favor with God and people. But 3 days ago, the high priest, the rulers of the people, sentenced him to death, and they had him crucified. We all hoped that he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel. Early this morning, some of the women informed us of something amazing. They said they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. Some of us want to see for ourselves, and we found the tomb exactly like the women said, but no one has seen him. Oh my gosh, how cool is Jesus? Talk about a really fun God. He had to be like, about, this is like so cool, like they're looking for me and they're talking to me. Jesus said to them, why are you so thick-headed? Whoops. He would say that to some of you. He probably has said it to some of you. He said it to me. Why do you find it so hard to believe? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Christ the Messiah to experience all this suffering and then enter into his glory? Then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scriptures. The word of God himself walked along 17 miles talking to these two guys and shared the prophets' word, the prophecies in the Old Covenant. The New Covenant wasn't written yet, people. He's walking along. The Gospels were in the process of being written. They were lived. And he's actually talking to these two guys for a 17-mile walk. I could have walked if he was talking to me for 17 miles, too. And he shared all the gospel. He shared, he's so cool. He carefully, that means he did not leave out anything that needed to be revealed to them, the revelation of himself throughout the scripture. He started in Genesis and went all the way up to then, revealing him in every scripture. How cool. No wonder they needed a 17-mile walk. He started from the beginning, explained the writings of Moses, all the prophets, showing how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about him. And they approached the village. So as they were finally approaching the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling them he was going on to a distant place. They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "No, stay with us. It's going to be dark soon." So Jesus went in with them to the village. Let me tell you something really powerful there. I want you to see this. He didn't force them to invite him. He will not force you to have a relationship with him. He will not force you to invite him. He will not go where he is not invited. Even after sharing the entire understanding of who he was, starting back with Moses through the whole Bible, through everything up to that time, sharing that all for probably somewhere in that 17-hour place, he starts to leave. And it was their hunger to be with whoever. They didn't know he was Jesus yet, right? They didn't know he was Jesus. It was their hunger to be with whoever this person is that understands the scripture this well. Who is this person who really knows the scripture? Who is this person who really has some understanding and has an authority when he talks? I know he's a stranger, but let's just invite him to stay with us. They pleaded with him, "Stay with us, it's going to be dark." So Jesus went with them into the village, joining them. Now, if they hadn't had that hunger and that desire to, and also that heart to take care of this man, they would have never found out they were talking to Jesus. Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it, and then gave it to them. Can I tell you, let's start praying over our food. If Jesus Christ can thank God for the food that he's about to partake, who do we think we are to sit down and shove stuff in our mouth and not take time to thank God for what we're eating? Your kids will have their cell phones on enough at the table. Why don't we put them down and say a real blessing? And thank God. Not preach so long the food's cold. My family taught me that one. Stay with us, it'll be dark soon. Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And all at once, their eyes were opened, and they realized it was Jesus. I believe it was a prophetic sign he was doing, because he had done at the, you know, at the Last Supper, he took the bread and broke it and said, when you take this, remember me. And so when he did that and they partook, all of a sudden, God had them see who was standing for them. How many know God's pretty powerful that he could disguise who he is and yet he can reveal who he is? Okay, you guys remind me on Tuesday, I'll tell you about when I saw Jesus and he was veiled. And then he showed me it was him during that encounter. So Tuesday, y'all have to remind me though. Stunned, they looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize it was him? Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while we walked beside him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures." They left at once and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. When they found the 11 and the other disciples all together, they overheard them saying, "It's really true. The Lord has risen from the dead. He even appeared to Peter." The two disciples told the others what had happened to them on the road to Damascus. So he had appeared to Peter now. By now he'd appeared to Peter, and we'd have to go back to a different gospel to find that one. Jesus was busy that while we're getting ready to go visit family and or whatever you're going to do this afternoon, think of Jesus's first Resurrection Sunday. He's having a blast. He does this great introduction that he's arisen. You know, he can write really good movies, you know. And then, surprises the ladies and talks to them. And somewhere along there, he talks to Peter also. And he talks to these two other men. And they all come together. I think if you go back to where I stopped in Matthew and read, I think you get to where Peter sees them. While they were still discussing all this, So then the two disciples told the others what had happened to them on the road. Now this is evening, Damascus. This is pretty late by now. And how Jesus had unveiled himself as he broke bread with them. While they were still discussing this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes. He just was there. Right through the walls, right through everything, here he was. Startled, terrified, the disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost. Standing there among them, he said, "Be at peace. I am the living God. Don't be afraid." So when people act like they see God all the time, but they never have any kind of fear, you got to wonder if they see God all the time. There's a reverence when you see God. There's like a holy reverence. There's like, oh my gosh, why would he reveal himself to me? I think if we would become people who would honor him more, even in church and in our daily life, and if we would really reverence him all the time, I think you might have more divine encounters and visitations, because he's not going to just show up and let you blow it off like it's not a big deal. And when you make fun of other people's or mock other people or criticize other people's encounters with God, you pretty much are telling God you don't want one. So get rid of your jealous spirit or your self-righteous spirit or your Pharisee spirit or whatever it is. Doesn't mean everybody who said something happened, it really happened. It means a lot of them are real. And it's biblical. Be at peace, I'm the living God, don't be afraid. Why are you so frightened? Don't let doubt or fear enter your hearts, for I am. Come and gaze upon my pierced hands and feet. See for yourself, it's I, standing here alive. Come and touch me. Know that my wounds are real. See that I have a body of flesh and bone. He showed them his pierced hands and feet and let them touch his wounds. The disciples were ecstatic yet dumbfounded, unable to comprehend it. He had a glorified body. So you will still look just like you look, and you will be able to, you will eat then. I was going to check that flesh and bone thing in another translation, but I'll do that later. The disciples were dumbfounded, unable to comprehend it, knowing that they were still wondering if he was real. Jesus says, "Here, let me show you. Give me something to eat." They handed him a piece. Oh, see, they were thinking it was just his ghost. So obviously they saw their people's spirits all the time back then or something. Because remember with Peter, they thought, is that just his ghost? You know, or is that just his angel? You know, they say, is that his angel? Is it? So they get that you can see angels sometimes. They just couldn't get this idea that Jesus Christ, because they knew him as the Son of God and the Son of Man, that this maybe this was just his angel. And that's why he's trying to prove, well, then let me eat. You never saw those guys eat. They don't eat. Aren't you glad that we get to be those who get to eat in heaven? Knowing that they were still wondering if he was real, he said, "Here, let me show you. Give me something to eat." They handed him a piece of fish and honeycomb, and they watched him eat it. How hilarious is this? You got God standing in the room who just raised from the dead. He's already talked to you. He's convinced everybody. And you're still like, is that really him? So don't knock yourself upside the head too much, that sometimes you wonder, could that really happen? Was that really him? Could God really do this? Because these guys knew him better than we did. We do have Holy Spirit in us, hopefully. Which they didn't yet. And you will see they change after they get Holy Spirit in them, but that's a couple weeks from now. Don't you remember the words I spoke to you while still with you? I told you that everything written about me would be fulfilled, including the prophecies from the law of Moses through Psalms, the writings of the prophets, that they would find their fulfillment. He supernaturally unlocked their understanding. This is something to pray for. This is something to pray for. God, would you divinely unlock my understanding? I want to understand spiritual things. I want to understand spiritual things. I want my carnal mind to get out of the way so my spiritual mind can kick in. And I want you to let me see things the way you see things. And that's what he's doing here. To receive the revelation of the scriptures. Then said to him, "Everything that has happened fulfills what was prophesied of me. Christ the Messiah was destined to suffer and then raised from the dead on the third day. Now you must go into all the nations. Preach repentance." Okay, preach repentance. We cannot get people saved without preaching repentance. We can enable people to think they're saved. And then there's no fruit from it. You can never get saved till you repent. You just can't. Something has to come. You have to let the Holy Spirit say, the way I'm living is not right. This stuff isn't right. This isn't what life is about. This can't be what God's about. This isn't right. And you have to repent. And can I just tell you, the longer you walk with God, the more you're going to repent, not the lust. Because all of a sudden you're repenting of wrong thoughts. You're repenting of raising your voice too loud because it was out of anger and not holy indignation. And all of a sudden you're changing. You were just thinking something bad about your spouse. And all, next thing you know, you're repenting and letting go of that thought where you were trying to be angry at them. All the ladies say, amen. The men are like, oh, if you just knew what we know. I don't need to know what you're thinking. I know God will get you to. I know we think different. He says, now, go to the nations, preach repentance, and forgiveness. And make them understand how, repent, let the conviction come, and then show them they're forgiven of their sins, that they can turn to me. And he goes, now start right here in Jerusalem. So I want to tell you something. Start right in your families. Start right in your neighborhoods. Start right in your communities. Start right there. And we kind of had this word from Russ when he came. And then he wants us to take it to the nations. For you are my witnesses and have seen for yourself all that has transpired. And I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps around you. We'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit soon. Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany. He lifted his hands over them, blessed them in his love. While he was still speaking out words of love and blessing, he floated off the ground into the sky. How cool is God? Ascending into heaven before their very eyes. And all they could do was worship him, overwhelmed with joy. They made their way back to Jerusalem. Every day they went to the temple, praising and worshiping God. And there's a lot of in-betweens and all of that. All that didn't happen in one day. Once we got to the part where he started teaching them. But what does it really show us, and we're going to leave with this, about Resurrection Sunday? It is a brand new, it was a brand new, completely new era in the kingdom of God. It was a brand new thing. Now, it's gone on now for almost 2,000 years. And now everybody's kind of used to it. Everybody's kind of seen it. And things were stolen from it, and the Dark Ages came, and all this kind of stuff. But we can pick ourselves back up in the Bible and start looking at the book of Acts. I mean, first go to book of Acts, see how the church was. It's a really good Bible study, but you can do it on their own. But then go to the book of Revelations and begin to see what we've entered into. Begin to see what is going to be happening. I've preached all this before. We've got it on video and tape and whatever. And maybe we'll get time to do it again sometime this year. But realize we are in a very exciting time. Remember, they went through that suffering, right? But look at the joy when they saw him. Look at the power when the Holy Spirit came. And everything changed and the whole world changed. Well, if you go to the end of everything, we have to get that kind of joy that he's coming soon. That we're going to see him. That we get to have that kind of joy that they had. And that hopefully, if it's not my generation, the next generation, and definitely by the next generation, there's going to be that excitement that we're going to see him. That we're going to be at that wedding feast. That we're going to be those. And in the meantime, just like the early church, he's going to give us the grace, the power, the authority to go and win souls. So Father, we thank you for how real you are. We thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is going to be with us. Whatever people are doing this afternoon, we just give you praise. We ask for your wisdom. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.